The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to St. Stephen's online worship. As always, we're very glad that you're here with us, whether you're new or regular, living near or far away. You're welcome here with us as we worship in Qualicum Beach. Since it is the first Sunday of the month, we will be celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion later in today's service. So if you need a moment to prepare the elements of bread or crackers and either juice or wine, feel free to pause this recording now so that you can go and prepare those for later in the service. Today is the fifth day after Epiphany, a time when we look to how we receive God's promise and gifts, how we live in God's light. For the people who walked in darkness became people of light. This is a great time to share the love of Jesus Christ. Let's celebrate and remember the light of God by lighting the Christ candle. Let's join together in the call to worship. Everlasting God, you give strength to the powerless and power to the faint. You raise up the sick and cast out demons. In your grace, we humble ourselves and pray that you strengthen, empower, and restore us to make us agents of healing and wholeness, that your good news may be made known to the ends of your creation. Amen. Let's take a few moments now to prepare for the rest of this service. Would you join me in the prayer of confession? Eternal light, shine in our hearts. Eternal goodness, deliver us from evil. Eternal power, be our support. Eternal wisdom, scatter the shadows of our ignorance. Eternal compassion, have mercy on us, that with heart and mind and soul and strength we may seek your face and be brought by your infinite mercy to the holy presence through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen.
Friends, God hears the cries of the brokenhearted and renews the strength of those who trust in his grace and his mercy. In Jesus Christ, God has taken us by the hand, forgiving our sins and lifting us to new life. Sisters and brothers, your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen. As we do each month, as we celebrate communion, we say together one of the creeds of our church. This month, we will be saying the Apostles' Creed. So will you join me in saying that proclamation of our faith together now? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today's reading is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. And immediately after they had come out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to him about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. And when evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order that I may preach there also, for that is what I came out for." And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, today we come again to Mark's Gospel, and as you have heard, we are still in the first chapter, and yet it feels like so much has happened already over these past few weeks, but that is really the nature of Mark. There's a lot going on in this 16 chapters. We've heard the stories of Jesus calling his first disciples, and before they've even gotten out of town, so much has already happened. It's the Sabbath, and as we heard last week, Jesus and his companions went to the local synagogue, as you do on the Sabbath, where he ended up leaving quite an impression with his incredible teaching and with a rather miraculous exorcism that he performed. In this reading that we have today, we pick up on this same day, just after that synagogue service has ended. And they were doing something that's probably quite familiar to many of us who have made Sunday worship a regular part of our lives. They were going home for lunch after church. Well, after synagogue, really, but you get my drift. Home was actually Peter's house. Remember, Jesus was from Nazareth, and so we think that when he was in Capernaum, Peter's home was his home base, kind of. Well, after that very eventful service, Jesus and his friends headed back to Peter's, probably for something to eat and a rest. I must confess to you that I actually recognize that routine. I am not usually much of a napper, but on the Sundays that I preach here, I often go home after the services and catch 40 winks. There's something about doing public ministry that is much more tiring than it looks, I think, from the outside looking in. So that's what's behind my suspicion that Jesus may have been a little bit spent after that synagogue service that day. When they arrived home, they discovered that Peter's mother-in-law had taken sick with a fever, a rather dangerous symptom for somebody to come down with in ancient times. And so, whether he was spent or not, Jesus went to her and quietly and yet powerfully healed her. He went and he took her hand and he helped her up. And apparently as he did that, she was healed and the fever left her, and then we're told she began to wait on them. Now, Mark doesn't give us any more details about the rest of that afternoon, so it may very well have actually been quite quiet. Maybe Jesus did finally get that nap. I hope so, because after the sun had set that day and the Sabbath was officially over, people began arriving outside Peter's house, bringing with them sick family members and friends for Jesus to heal. Apparently, word had gotten out about him. Mark says that the whole town had gathered at his door and that Jesus spent that evening healing people of all sorts of maladies. Now, to be fair, saying it was the whole town may be a bit of an exaggeration on Mark's part, but it's probably reasonable for us to think that Jesus was helping those people late into that evening. It was likely a very busy night. Well, after all of that and a bit of rest, Jesus was up and out of the house very early, off to find someplace quiet where he could pray. Remember that bit. We're going to come back to it in a minute. Mark tells us that the disciples went out to find him where he was, and they urged him to come back to Peter's house to help the people who had started to gather again. I suspect that once the sun had come up, people had started arriving at his door, either looking for healing or maybe just curious to see a miracle firsthand. They tried to talk Jesus into coming back to the house with them, but he refused. He said that they all actually needed to move on to other villages in order to teach and heal people throughout Galilee, not just in Capernaum. And so as our reading concludes, Mark tells us that they did just that. They embarked on the first of what would end up being three tours they made through Galilee, teaching, healing, and proclaiming the good news of the life God has for us in his kingdom. Well, as we have been seeing, Mark's gospel is distinctive because of this pace he sets. There's lots of action, and the stories give us a really good sense of how intense life must have been for Jesus and his disciples at times. On days like the one we've just heard about, Jesus was doing ministry from dawn until late at night. He must have been so tired. So I find it interesting that in the midst of all of that action and drama, Mark is very careful to make sure that we know that after that long, exhausting day, Jesus didn't take a day off. He didn't even sleep in the next morning. No, he rolled himself out of bed very early to go and to find a quiet place to pray. Some of the commentators I read suspect he may have gotten up as early as 3 a.m. Why would Jesus do that when he clearly must have been so tired? Remember, he was fully human. And as a human, he was subject to the same physical needs that we are, including the need for adequate rest. Why not take some time to get a good sleep, to make sure you're rested and refreshed and ready for the next full day that was obviously ahead of him? Well, the very fact that this little bit about him going off to pray is mentioned in the midst of all this action, it's actually pretty telling. It shows us how essential prayer was in Jesus' life, as important as anything else. It seems that prayer was as necessary as any miraculous ministry, as necessary as his mission, even as necessary as his basic need for sleep. The Gospels show us that these times of prayer were central for Jesus, no matter what was happening. In the Scriptures, there's lots of times where we hear of Jesus going to pray. Luke tells us specifically that he would often slip away to the wilderness to pray. He seems to have had this habit of going to find places where he could take some time to be alone with God, with his Father. And he ensured that his disciples saw this and learned from his example. Over time, as they watched Jesus' own practice of prayer, this obviously had an impact on these men, because as we all remember, they ended up asking him to teach them to pray. They could see how important prayer was for him, and they wanted to ensure that they knew how to pray like he did. Now, we know that he taught them a specific form of prayer, the same form that we now pray regularly as the Lord's Prayer. But he also taught them much more than just that one prayer. As they watched him go off like this for regular times on his own, they learned by watching his habits. He showed them the place prayer has in this pattern of the life of discipleship we are each called to. Well, as you read the stories, you get a sense of this. You can see what daily ministry was like for Jesus and his followers, and you start to recognize this distinctive rhythm to it all. You read of times like this, back-to-back days of intense ministry. And in between these days, sometimes you'll hear a brief mention like we just had of Jesus going away on his own to pray. It's easy to miss them because they're often tucked into between some rather remarkable events. For example, we hear the story of him feeding 5,000 people. And right after that, he goes to take time away to pray. And then after that time of prayer, he goes out and walks on water on the Sea of Galilee to rescue his disciples who were caught out in a storm. Miraculously feed 5,000 people, go away quietly to pray, walk on water, and calm a storm. Another time we actually hear of him healing someone once again on a Sabbath, only this time it created this huge controversy amongst the religious leaders. After that confrontation, Jesus went off, we're told, up a mountain that time to pray. And then when he came down, right away, he named the 12 men, the 12 of his followers, who would be his first apostles. Men whose lives and work we still draw on every single day, 2,000 years later. So healing and publicly confronting the religious establishment, going off to pray, and then calling the men who would carry on his mission after his death and resurrection. You can see this pattern, can't you? Outward to share God's love with others, inward for time with God himself, and outward again for more ministry, more loving people. As he modeled this inward, outward, inward, outward flow, Jesus was teaching us the rhythm of life for anyone who follows him, whether you followed him 2,000 years ago or you're following him today. There are times when we draw inward, focusing on making time to personally connect with God. And then there are times when we turn outward, loving people in the ways that we are called and equipped to. Inward, outward, inward, outward. This is our rhythm. It's kind of reminiscent of breathing, isn't it? And just like breathing, It's absolutely necessary as we follow Jesus. So, beloved friends, fellow followers of Him, I urge you to ensure that you are finding ways to maintain this rhythm in your lives, even now, in the midst of this time when so much is in upheaval. Because as Jesus shows us so clearly, both aspects of that rhythm, both the inward and the outward, are critical if we hope to sustain this life of discipleship we are each called to. Amen.
Good morning. It's my privilege to pray with you today. So let's pray. Triune God, Father, God above us, Jesus, God beside us, Holy Spirit, God within us, it is to you that we pray this morning. We consider the words of Psalm 92, verses 1 to 5. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make us glad by your deeds, Lord. We sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. God, we come to you with grateful hearts for your love, your faithfulness, your amazing deeds, your great works, and your profound thoughts. You seek to protect us, to comfort us, to guide and to love us. How can we possibly comprehend the way you love us? You never let go. Father, we lift up to you all those combating the pandemic, the medical and mental health professionals, the researchers, and the politicians trying to expedite delivery of the vaccine. We ask that you continue to give strength and wisdom to all, and we pray that you will smooth the way and remove any obstacles that may slow down the demise of COVID. Holy Spirit, we ask that you work in the hearts and minds of people, that we may see clearly what is truth, what are lies, what is deception. And then we can walk with others in grace and in love. Jesus, surround us with your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. For those that are ill, for those that are grieving the loss of a loved one, and for those experiencing the profound loneliness of COVID restrictions, send your comfort, please. And Jesus, send us your song, one that brings us joy and makes us dance. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We love you, we thank you, we worship you. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Friends, the Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Let's say together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, Jesus has invited you to this holy meal in the places where you are. So I invite you now to consume. Thank you. Please join me in saying together the prayer after communion. We bless you, O God, for gifts of bread and cup, for sustaining us in hope every day of our lives. We pray for your strength to prepare us now for your service as we offer to you lives of witness and worship in the world you have made. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We thank you again for your faithful giving to the mission and ministry of this church. Let's pray together, dedicating these gifts to God. Receive our gifts, O God. May they be used to show forth to the world the greatness of your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ, your perfect gift and our Saviour. Amen.
I want to give you a reminder that we are welcoming good news stories. If there's something you're celebrating in your life and you would normally share that with us when we gather on a Sunday morning, if you'd like me to share it through these services, you are welcome. I'd love to do that. Let us know about it. You can do that by calling the office or emailing or using the Let's Connect card on the church website. We also have heard that there are people from our congregation, people who used to worship with us regularly and had to move away for various reasons, who are gathering with us for worship online once again. And that just warms our hearts to know that you are out there watching. If you would be willing and interested in letting the congregation know that you have joined us in worship, I suspect they'd love to hear that. So let us know. If you're okay with us giving you a shout out, a hello, to let the whole congregation know that our beloved friends are able to gather together in spirit, in worship with us once again in this time because we are online right now. It is one of the few blessings that there are to be had in this time when there is so much challenge. So if you'd like us to let people know that you're with us, let us know and I'm happy to do that. A reminder that the Coldest Night of the Year walk is coming up February 20th to raise funds to support those who are homeless in our community. And so if you're interested in participating in that, you can register online at the Coldest Night of the Year website. Join in with the St. Stephen's Stompers team. And we hope to have lots of people raising lots of funds to do this very important work in our community. Lent is approaching quickly. Ash Wednesday is on February 17th, just a couple of weeks away. As you know, we traditionally hold an Ash Wednesday service here, and we are going to do that again this year, although it won't be an in-person service, it will be an online service, with a bit of a twist from what we normally do. So there will be information coming out about that Ash Wednesday service over this next week. I encourage you to watch your announcements for that. Going to an Ash Wednesday service, participating in that service, is a wonderful way to really intentionally begin the journey of Lent. And so I really want to encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity and take part in that service this year. And finally, I just want to thank the people who have actually picked up the phone and given somebody a call this week. Last weekend in the announcements, I encouraged you to do that. And we're hearing stories of people who have been doing that and having good catch-up conversations with people. I know it means so much for people to get those calls. And it means so much to me to know that you are caring for each other in that very important way. So thank you. And please keep it up. It's a really, really good thing for us right now. Sisters and brothers in Christ, go forth into all the world. Go forth in forgiveness and grace. Go forth with compassion and love. For we go as Christ's family, going for all the world to see. Amen. Mm-hmm.
to do.